I'm Amanda McNulty with Clemson Extension and Making It Grow, and this is Making It Grow Extra. And today I've invited Davis Sanders of South Pleasantburg Nursery to come down early. Davis is going to be on the show with us tonight, but Davis always has such fascinating information, and I wanted to get a chance to talk to him some and share some of his ideas with you. Davis, Clemson tells us that their recommendation is for us not to amend a single planting hole, that if we're going to do a large area, that that's one situation, but that if we amend a single planting hole, we might cause some trouble. But in the upstate, you've got a really tough soil, that red clay. And what have you found works best in your experience in that particular situation when you have a plant to install?
Well, thanks for having me down again, Amanda. We do recommend a little bit of soil amendment. We don't go to the extent that some areas do of suggesting a mixture of half native soil and half organic matter. What we try to achieve is to give the plant enough space and nutrients within the soil to produce new roots, but also to keep enough of that native clay in so that the roots do develop some strength as they grow, so that once they're established, the roots can actually penetrate the red clay. Upstate South Carolina, North Georgia, Eastern Tennessee, Western North Carolina is actually one of the most botanically diverse areas in the world, and just about everything you see growing wild around us up there is actually growing in that red clay. Now, a lot of that is, of course, remnants from the days when this entire part of the world was heavily forested, so the plants had a natural substrate to grow into that was porous and moisture retentive and nutrient rich, but with all the settlement and development, that layer of topsoil just doesn't exist anymore.
And when you go to a new housing development now, all that's gone. You just got that red clay.
Yeah, if it hasn't been bulldozed, it's probably been built in a former cow pasture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I know that one of the things can happen is if you put too much organic matter in, then that will act like a bowl of oatmeal. It holds too much water because organic matter, of course, holds. That's one of the wonderful things about it. And then also, the plant just, as that material decomposes, the plant ends up being in a hole. So tell me how you come across a happy medium of improving the situation just enough without making it stay too wet, or worst of all, sinking down so that the plants, has halfway down in the water.
Well, our recommendation generally is to dig the hole at least twice as big around as the container size. We normally refer to nursery containers in terms of gallons, but mm-hmm. in this instance, it's probably better to talk in inches. A 1 gallon pot is going to be about 6.5 to 7 inches across. A 5 gallon pot might be 12 inches. And what we recommend is digging the hole at least twice as big around as that container. So if they're planting a 10 inch container, their hole needs to be at least 20 inches across to allow the roots to spread. On the other side of that coin, though, is the fact that with the red clay, which compacts so densely that water won't percolate through it, we want to make sure that the new roots aren't going to drown. So we actually recommend digging the hole not as deep as the container, mm-hmm. leaving an inch or two of the root ball on the plant actually above the soil line. It's similar to planting a tree just to the point where the root flares at the surface of the soil. That allows the roots to grow straight out into whatever topsoil is there, or whatever lies on top of the red clay, so that the roots can actually get established. By adding a little bit of organic matter to the red clay that we've dug up out of the hole, it allows the roots to grow freely, but by leaving a significant amount of the clay in that backfill mixture, it puts some resistance on the roots so they develop some vigor and some strength, and once they're established, they're actually capable of growing into the red clay that surrounds them.
And it avoids the problem of having the planting holes stay too wet or sinking as that organic matter decays over time.
Right, yeah. And with a minimum of organic matter, you know, it's not as much of an issue. But if the bottom of the root ball is actually sitting on a red clay base, the roots are going to have to grow straight out, which is best for the plants anyway.
So, do you first take any existing weeds or grass or anything off the area?
If the area has never been planted in a hardy plant, a woody ornamental, we do take the whatever's growing on the surface, whether it's weeds, whether it's turf grass, whether it's a ground cover, we strip that off first. And personally, when I dig a hole in red clay, I put a shovel full of organic matter on the surface before I start digging. That way, as I'm digging, I'm actually amending the soil and blending the organic matter in with the red clay as I'm digging the hole.
Good distribution.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I also try to, when I dig the hole, and this is just a little tip for home landscapers, always pile all of your soil into one spot on the side of the hole. Don't pile it up all the way around, because you're going to find that as you're working around that hole, you're going to compact the soil, you're going to stomp it down, and you're never going to get all the soil back into the hole. If you pile it up in one spot, you just rake it back in.
Okay. Sometimes I take a tarp or a big piece of cardboard or something, and it just makes it easy for you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We don't also, and I'm speaking for what I hear from Clemson, from the people who've done the research, suggest fertilizing the first year, because we say we want the plant to develop a good root system, and most of the nitrogen fertilizers promote more leaf tissue, which is just going to make more area that the roots have to support. So we suggest waiting. Have you found that one thing works well for you in your situation?
Well, here again, since red clay does have a fairly high level of nutrients, once the soil is loosened enough for the plants to penetrate, a lot of fertilizer isn't necessary. But adding some of the additives that we've discussed previously, like the mycorrhizal fungi and the nitrifying bacteria to the soil, a lot of the organic starter fertilizers that are very low in nutrients, will fit that bill, because most of those have been enhanced with some of the biological additives also.
Okay.
So
you're tweaking on a very specific and small way, not the great big three.
Right. And also we deal exclusively with container grown material. We don't sell any bald and burlap material. And the wholesale nurseries are in the business of growing a plant out
quickly,
put out for the customer. So there's lots of nutrients in that that soil when they ship the plants to us for resale. If a plant remains in the nursery long enough, we do have to supplement the fertilizer.
And one thing is, you just have to water them so much.
Right.
A plant in a container just has to be watered every time you turn around during hot weather.
But the fact is, when that plant comes off the back of the truck from the wholesale nursery, it has a load of nutrients already in the soil. And if the plant turns quickly enough, if it moves out of the nursery quickly enough, there's no need for additional fertilizer, except maybe something to enhance that root growth.
And because we talked earlier about the mycorrhizal composition of the soil and all those wonderful microorganisms that are there, and so the shovel full of amendment that you put on top of the hole really is concentrated in adding those sorts of materials than as we talk about the big three, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium.
Right.
Okay. Now to mulch. What's the favorite mulch in the upstate?
It depends on who you talk to. All the mulches that are popular in the upstate generally are organic products, either pine bark, hardwood bark, a lot of the shredded products. Pine needles or pine straw are extremely popular. We really don't get a whole lot of calls for the permanent mulches, the rubber mulches or stone mulches, although we are seeing a little bit more of that over the last few years. But it's really a matter of what the homeowner wants. Now, if the homeowner puts it back into our court, we tell them that this product is going to degrade faster, so it's going to add nutrients faster. This product is going to last longer, but it's not going to break down, so you don't have the nutrient level. Mm-hmm. This product could potentially be a fire hazard.
I was going to touch on that, because fire is something I think we all think about now.
Right, and the incident in Atlanta a few years ago where a large portion of an apartment complex burned to the ground was started by a cigarette and pine needles.
And pine straw, yeah. So in that, if fire is a concern, are one of the ground wood mulches preferred, or what do you use in a situation where sometimes there are even ordinances from the neighborhood about what to use?
Well, if there's an ordinance in the neighborhood, there's nothing we can do.
No, but I mean, what would you recommend if they say no fire, you know, a fire retardant material rather than one that, like pine straw, that's going to catch so quickly?
Well, even that has no pat answer, because every lot in the upstate is different, because we actually have hills up there. Mm-hmm. If it's level ground, just about any of the mulches will work. Shredded pine bark, finely ground pine bark, or even the mini nuggets are very decorative mulch that are going to do a good job at enriching the soil. If there's any slope to the property at all, we generally recommend a double ground hardwood mulch, because
so
it's going to
wash off.
So it doesn't wash off, exactly.
So you really got to be site specific.
Exactly.
So it sounds, Davis, like we can agree on some things, that we shouldn't load up the hole with too much stuff and make a cereal bowl and something that's going to end up with the plant too low. We want the plant to stay pretty high. Mm-hmm. But really, you need to look at each situation, don't you?
You do. And also, when you stop and think about it, a plant, most plants, even evergreens, are perfectly capable of mulching themselves once they're established. Because a plant is evergreen doesn't mean that every leaf hangs on that plant forever. As the seasons change, the leaves drop, they fall to the ground, they do a good job at mulching, retaining moisture, and in most cases, a plant's feeder roots are only going to be around the drip line anyway, so as long as you've got enough mulch to reach the drip line there, the plant can pretty much take care of itself. That's why limbing up a magnolia is such a bad idea, because magnolias are perfectly capable of feeding themselves for hundreds of years.
And I think for millions of years, plants did just fine without our being involved in their growth at all. Davis, thanks so much for coming today.
Well, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.